Good evening. I'm Tom Lounges. Thank you for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio. This is the Midwest Beat Program. It's all about music and the people who make it. Coming up a little later in the program, we're going to have Elliot Sloan. He's a founding member, primary songwriter, and lead vocalist of the group Blessed Union of Souls. You'll know their songs when you hear them. They had several top 40, top 20, and even a couple of number ones. And you've heard them in some of your favorite movies and TV shows. Blessed Union of Souls will be headlining a very big event this coming weekend at the Memorial Opera House. We'll give you all the details about the 5th annual Rock the Block with those that are putting it on. We've got Scott Stretch Miller in the studio, Natalie Klobuchar, and we're going to talk to them in just a few. But how about refreshing your memory right now with a song that went top 40 for the group Blessed Union of Souls? This is their Storybook Life.
Said to myself, I'm a man, got a pocket full of money, shirts in my mouth, case my breath is kind of funky. I saw her hottie staring right at me, she kind of looked like the chick that did the video with Tommy Lee. Oh man, is she coming over? I gotta get this show on the road, yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, where have I seen you before? If you didn't like that, well, I got about 20 more. I need a Mac, diggity daddy, take me out in his caddy. We can kick it to the brickety, brickety, break it dawn. I said it sounds like fun, but I ain't with it.
But if you're a good boy, I just might let you
hold my hand, because I ain't about the wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. I hope you understand that.
I don't want Britney tonight. In summer, yeah, she's alright. I've seen Buffy and she don't slay me. In my storybook life.
Yo, I drove her home and she was feeling kind of frisky. I told her nighty night and then she asked if she could kiss me. She said,
don't you wanna spend the night?
And then she bit me on the ear, I felt like I was in a Tyson fight.
Oh God, she's losing control now. So I said, I just want someone to hold, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk to all night, be the star in my storybook life.
So be a felicity, make my head, I won't lose sleep. You can keep your Halle Berry, cause baby you're just the type. For this show, this is right. You can be the star in my storybook life. In my storybook life.
Had one of those Storybook Lives. I love that song. It's one of my favorites from Blessed Union of Souls, and it wasn't really a big hit for those guys. I believe it did go top 40, but I like their more upbeat, poppy kind of songs. Of course, they're most famous for some of their more ballady songs, and we'll get to a little of both. We're also going to have the lead singer joining us in just a little while, but right now we've got Scott Miller and Natalie Klobuchar, and I got it right that time. Yeah. And they are with the Memorial Opera House, and we are here to talk about this big event. First of all, Memorial Opera House is a historic venue for those that maybe haven't been there. It's 125 years old this year, and it's a place that has much, much history. It's been the place where Beulah Bondi started her career. She, of course, played Jimmy Stewart's mother in It's a Wonderful Life. She was in several other films during the golden age of Hollywood. The Marx Brothers played there. Supposedly, one of the Roosevelts stopped by and did a little yammering there from the stage. And there's just been so many wonderful stage productions, concerts, and just all sorts of fun stuff that have gone on there for the last century plus. And he hasn't been there all that time, but he's been there a while.
Feels
Stretch
like
Miller. Stretch, how you doing?
Real good.
You brought Natalie with you.
I did.
Natalie, what exactly is your role?
Well, right now, my title there is the Executive Administrative Assistant to
Scott McDonald.
That
sounds
so important. It doesn't. It's really fancy. I do a lot of the I do all the books, and I do all the contracts, and I'm like the liaison between the business and the county and stuff. You know,
okay.
So I know a lot of the bureaucratic policy and all the things that we've got to do in order to get anything done. You know, and basically to spend any money, more or less. You
right. So you're the reason we get to have fun, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You do all the work, we get to play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why I got to come out tonight. I was like, oh, you're not doing this without me. No, I'm coming to that.
Now, this event is a fundraiser because,
yes.
Well, this would be more in your wheelhouse. The Memorial Opera House is a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. What exactly does that mean? Because people come to a theater and they spend money on tickets and everything, and they think, oh, someone's making money on this.
Sure.
How does the Opera House differ from, say, a normal theater where it is a for-profit?
Okay. Well, all of the money that is spent at the Memorial Opera House is technically public funds. We are owned and operated by Porter County government, so all that money is public money. So the way that we track the money and the way that we it's all public. Every
mm-hmm.
dollar that we spend is somewhere in a database that is public to the county, to every member of the community, and they can go in there and see what we've spent throughout the year.
Wow.
And they can question if they like, and people have done that in the past, you know. So it's the thing is that it's all public funds. You know, it's basically whatever you spend, you get right back, because what we're doing is providing a service to the community. So every time someone spends a single dollar at the Memorial Opera House, it goes right back into giving them right back to what they came there for originally.
Wow. And we've seen a lot of spending going on in the facelifting you guys have done.
Yes.
There. You've taken this great old theater and you've made it look
yes.
pretty again. Lots of paint,
Scott.
New seats,
yes,
new
Scott
sound
yeah.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
there's so many
things. Well,
we've been very blessed.
There's been a lot of people who have been very interested in helping us, and the timing was great. I mean, I hate to say that for the sake of the Radisson, you know, for the Holiday Star.
Right,
but,
right.
But we did get those great seats, and Scott has been very wise with reaching out to grantors and things, and he's been spending very appropriately, is the best way I can put it, using every dollar where it should go.
Okay.
We've been very fortunate. That
there's even more coming down the
Yeah,
pipe.
There's a lot more stuff coming down. We've got a new curtain. I don't know if you've been in there. We've got a brand new blue curtain.
No, I don't think I've seen the new curtain.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, well, it probably hasn't been open. I mean, it's been open every time you've been in there for a
right.
concert. So
when did you get the curtain?
We put it in right around Christmas time.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
I've been there since then.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's been there for
We'll have
the
to
whole
close
year.
It just so we can show it
yeah,
off.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah. It's worth it. It's worth the look. It's beautiful. And Scott's got a really good plan for the old curtain. He's going to send them off to this company that makes handbags.
And then sell them?
And sell them.
They do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We've already sent it off, actually.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I took it to UPS.
That's how he knows.
Can I get a fanny pack made?
If that's what you want, honey,
All
we'll
right.
get you a fanny pack.
I think we're going to have some at the theater when they're done.
Wow, that's
mm-hmm.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, this theater has been there a long time. How long have you actually been there, Stretch?
I've been there for about 7 years now.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
Scott McDonald is the executive director,
mm-hmm.
and he's been there maybe about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like—
In one capacity or another, yeah.
It seems like a new team came in there a few years back, and suddenly things started moving and shaking for that venue.
Yeah.
It sat, I don't want to say idle, but it sat for a while and mm-hmm. looked the same all the time.
Yeah.
And lately, the last few years, we've seen it grow in leaps and bounds, not just in attendance, but as I said, in new seats and new paint and in upgrades and sound and lights and rear projectors. I mean, you guys have done an incredible job in the last few years. Why did it take so long? I mean, what is it about this team, the chemistry of it, that made this all possible?
Wow.
That's a good question.
That is it, you know. I'll go ahead and take this one.
Yeah, you do that.
When I was in college, I needed something to do, more or less, and I didn't have a job, and so I got a hold of Memorial Opera House, and I was just volunteering there, and by like my fourth show I was stage managing.
Wow.
And at the same time I had gotten into contact with Stretch through one of the actors, and Stretch was just looking for some work, didn't really care what it was, but I was like, sure, you know, we'll see what we can do. And he kind of bugged the crap out of me for like 2 months.
He can do that.
I think he would not stop. Like almost every weekend, this guy was sending me a message, and I'm like, oh my God, fine. But then also, it was time to move on in that department of that building. So I set up an interview, and well, I guess an interview. I just said, call Brian, you know, go down there and talk to Brian. And they fell in love. The rest is history. And Stretch has stayed there through 5 more business directors.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been through
And I've been on and off since.
Yeah. So, I think when Trinidad Snyder stepped
she
in.
She seemed to be the one to start the ball rolling.
She started getting.
Yeah, she was a bit of a firecracker, and she seemed to get it started. Oh,
yeah. Definitely. And, yeah, and I think Scott just carried that on, and, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're just a.
And he thrives in the environment that he's in as well. He's very good for this position.
We all really like what we do.
Yeah.
So. Fifth year now. You came up with this idea originally, Stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically to showcase local music in this great venue while also adding a few coins to the coffer.
Right.
And it has grown in leaps and bounds to go from a simple couple-hour event to now the entire block is involved. Restaurants, the museum, everything has kind of grown.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Tell
us
about that.
Actually about four blocks now, I think,
yeah,
right?
I think it is, yeah. We've extended our borders every year.
Yeah, it's going to be Rock the Neighborhood pretty soon.
I hope so.
Rock the City.
Watch out, Popcorn Fest. We're coming for you.
Yeah, somebody said that to me the other day, actually. You know, we started as a fundraiser just to make some extra cash for the theater. We were struggling a little bit at the time. Several years back when we started this. And so I wanted to, like you said, bring in a lot of local bands that wouldn't necessarily be able to play in a place like that or play there or whatever. And the first year we did, my wife and I pretty much organized the whole thing. And then we had 17 acts in 12 hours.
Wow.
On the main stage. We used one stage.
All inside.
All inside. That was it. And it was crazy.
I can imagine.
But it worked really well. We had a good time. And then we started looking at ways to expand it. And we moved out into the parking lot, I think, the year after that. Put a stage out there. And we bounced back and forth between inside and out. It's just grown every year more and more and more.
Now you've got outdoor stage. Most of your acts are on the outdoor today or this year, except for your headliner and an opener.
Right. And we did that last year as well.
What happens if it rains? Do you move everyone inside?
Man, don't say that R
word. How
could
you say that? Man.
I don't have to do it, so.
It's not going to rain. It's going to be a perfect day.
There would be some very interesting maneuvering going on.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that we would work it out. Yeah.
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to get your headliner on, and we're going to talk a little about his career and what he's got planned for the show. But let's talk about some of the locals. It starts at noon,
and
Limelights is, it says youth theater. Now, are they going to act? Are they going to sing? What are they going to do?
They're doing a concert version of Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
We just got finished with our Limelights kids camp, and these are the children that were in that production that they put on at the end of their camp. So in 3 weeks, they learned the show choreography and a kid designed the lights for it and ran
full
the
costumes,
lights,
everything,
costumes, and the whole nine yards in 3 weeks, and put the show on. 45 little youngsters.
That's a lot of kids.
It's a lot of kids.
Wow.
It was a great show.
It's like herding cats when you have that many children.
Limelight's program has doubled or tripled since last year?
I think it was like a 700% increase in attendance this year. It was a big deal. It went from 7 kids last year to 45 this year.
So that's an hour. It looks like each of these acts get an hour.
Yeah, pretty much an hour.
And then Lost Souls is doing classic rock. Are they locals?
Michigan City.
Okay. And Mindy and Amber of the High Street Band.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with the High Street Band.
They're great.
Mindy and Amber.
Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school with them.
The Lawrence Sisters.
Yes.
I've heard of them.
I went to high school with
them. I didn't
girls.
Hear about High Street Band, but I've heard of the Lawrence Sisters.
Yeah, that's interesting. They will be there.
That's their full band, but they're.
I've actually had people ask me to get them to sing at the record store.
They're hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been on them since the day after the event last year.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I won't be holding my breath then.
That's their full band that they play with, the High Street Band, but they are doing an acoustic act.
Now, are they rock, folk?
They do a little bit of everything, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big
Very
mixture.
Talented.
Fade is from Valparaiso. They're a young alternative band. They just played over the weekend at the Front Porch Music Fest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Chad's party.
Yeah, exactly.
It's another annual thing. Valpo's got all these huge annual events now.
We do.
It's an amazing city. I mean, and even your mayor plays guitar. I mean, how cool is that?
That is cool.
Yeah.
So Fade is going to go from 3 to 4, and then 4 to 5. Terry Klemma, he's been there before.
Yeah, he's been a long-time veteran. Yeah, a couple of years now, I think, in a row he's been there. He's a great acoustic guitar player, and we love having him out there.
Okay, and then Gage was here, was it last year or the year before with you? And he played his ukulele.
He did.
Yeah, and then
last year, on that show,
he turned me on to a new band called 21 Pilots, which I had never heard of, and now I'm a fan because of Gage.
Because of something else, huh?
He's playing this ukulele. I'm like, that's a great tune. Is that original? He goes, no, man, that's 21 Pilots.
No,
I'm like, well, excuse me, who's that? And he's like explaining who they are. It was great. I love that kid.
He's a great kid.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah.
Very talented.
Yeah, he really is.
We should have brought him back in today. You got to have him back.
Yeah.
I just think he's just a ball.
Their whole family is so talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the whole family.
Carrie and Randy and Gage. It's like the Cousils all over
and
again.
Sister Carrie A.
Yeah, that's right. She's an actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Visions of Santana. Obviously, that kind of sums it up. It's a Santana tribute.
Yep.
And then Chris Grove. He is a keyboard player that goes on tour with Eddie Money.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Greg Ashby also is quite well known in this area as a singer-songwriter, and he's in a variety of bands. Both of those guys are pretty heavy hitters for the region.
Yeah, definitely.
So what are they going to do? Are they acoustic, electric? What are they doing?
Chris will be playing keys, and Greg will be playing acoustic guitar.
Now, last year, I think it was Chris and Billy O.
It was.
From Dynamite.
Yeah. Chris and Billy and Greg have been out several of the rocked house slash blocks. They're always really cool about helping and always want to make sure that they get a chance to play. I love having them out there.
Mm-hmm. You've got quite a lot of talent there. How long does it take you to put this all together?
When we start in November.
That's when you start. It takes me all year.
So, all right. And then, of course, three-piece. That's Mike and the boys. They've been with you on and off now for most of the years.
Yeah,
haven't they?
I think they missed 1 year out of the run of the show so far. Yeah,
and they also do John King's production for Special Olympics every year.
Right.
They step up on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was just there actually. I seen them there.
It's yet another annual event in Valparaiso.
Yep.
You guys are like music crazy over there. Theoretically, what is your team like on this? I mean, you are one guy, and I know Denise, your wife, runs the lights and helps out with merch and everything else. She's kind of a jack of all trades.
Right.
Who else is on your team as far as production that makes this all work?
As far as production goes?
You know, making the bands get on and off on time, keeping the schedule right.
Yeah, the rest are volunteers.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adam Wolliver is our master carpenter out at the theater, and he kind of steps into that role as well sometimes. Okay. But other than that, it's all volunteers. I've got a young gentleman, Connor Gregg, that works with me. He's a high school student, really, really good at what he does, really smart, good at lights, good at sound.
This has become quite the event.
It's crazy.
You know,
it's crazy.
Like we said, so many different bands outside and then inside, three-piece, warming things up. And then probably the best band you've gotten yet, Blessed Union of Souls. How did you pull that one out of the magic box? I mean, that's a big name, lots of hits behind them, and they're doing this, and it's going to be an amazing event. I don't think they've played out here in a long time that I know of.
No, not that I know of either. We all kind of sat down, myself, Natalie, and Scott, and kind of put together a list of some bands that we'd like to work with.
Like a wish list?
Yeah, kind of. And ones that we thought that, you know, we could get, and, you know, reasonably and things like that. And, you know, that would work well with what we had to spend. And I had worked with Blessed Union a couple times running lights for them 10 years ago probably or so. And so their name got thrown up, and I think Scott jumped up and was like, oh yeah, let's try to get them. Mm-hmm. He said he kind of grew up with them and or went to college and
They were his college band.
Yeah, his college band, yeah.
So. Yeah, it's one of those bands, you know the name, but you can't always place it until you hear the songs. And then it's like one after another, all the memories come back. Prepping for today, I hadn't, when I was running Woodmar Records, we used to sell a lot of their first album home. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of forgotten until you mentioned that they were going to be there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard them in a while. So I went on to Amazon and I bought a couple things because I couldn't find any of my CDs anymore. And I heard a couple of tunes and I just instantly decided I'm going to buy a whole lot of their music because now I'm infected again. And we're going to get their lead singer on here in just a few minutes. Elliot Sloan is on the phone. But right now, I've been telling the listeners about all these songs. We already played Storybook Life. Let's do another one real quick, and we'll bring Ellie down. Kind of a short one. Let's do That's the Girl I've Been Telling You About. This is Blessed Union of Souls. When we get back, Elliot Sloan, lead singer, founding member, and songwriter, will be joining us.
I was thinking when I seen her, I just had to find a way I could meet her, cause I've been dying for the chances to treat her like the rightful little bitch she is. Wouldn't even cross my mind to deceive her, but she could lie through her teeth and I believe her. I don't know her, but I know that I need her, and I don't think she's got a notion that that's the girl I've been telling you about. Ain't she everything I said and a whole lot more? So she thinks I'm on a mission. Now all she wants to do is melt my cool. But I asked her out and told her we could have fun. She laughed at me just like a honeymooners rerun. She said my chance of dating her was either slim or none. But that don't mean I'm gonna listen, cause that's the girl I've been telling you about. Ain't she everything I said and a whole lot more? She got it going on and I never wanna be without her. You feel she's been living in my head like a recurring dream. Her smile is like the sun and my whole world goes around her. She lives in my head from the start of my day till now. I must be out of my
the girl I've been telling you about. Yes, indeed. I think we've all got one of those somewhere in our closet. That's a great song by Blessed Union of Souls. Not one you might remember right away, but certainly, Natalie, you were enjoying that one.
I was,
You were
yes.
like, that's a really good song.
That is good. I've never heard it before, so I was like...
See, that's the thing. I was online and I was listening to a couple of the hits I knew, and I thought, well, I'll listen to some more. And all of a sudden it was like, I forgot how good this album is. I forgot how good that album is. Well, so we have the guy that actually did those songs with us. Elliot, are you there? Elliot Sloan.
I'm right here. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Doing good. Thank you for waiting. I know you've been on hold for a minute or two there. But we're very excited that Blessed Union of Souls are coming to help us out here at the historic Memorial Opera House. I don't know if you're familiar with the room, but it's a beautiful venue. How many seats stretch approximately?
360.
360 seats. It was built 125 years ago. The opening act was John Philip Sousa, and Marx Brothers have played there, and just so many amazing acts over the years, and we're very happy that you guys are going to be there. I don't know when last time you were in the Chicago area. Has it been a while?
It's been a little bit. We used to do a couple of things outside in Naperville, and just a bunch of stuff throughout Indiana, Illinois, in the past. But I can't remember the last time we actually played up around that way. It might have been House of Blues, but, man, all the years are blending together. I couldn't tell you what year that was. you know what I'm saying? Don't they do that? It's
When
somebody says something happened in 2007, you're like, that was 11 years ago. Seriously?
Yeah.
It just blows by.
Joe's on Weed Street. I ran some lights for you a couple times in there, and that was probably about 10 years ago. So Joe's down in downtown Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Totally.
Nice little club over there.
Wow. So you guys have been together a long time. You've got a lot of hits under your belts. You've had songs in movies and television. But it's not one of the names that automatically come to mind when you think Blessed Union. So, like I said in the beginning, everyone knows the songs when they hear them. Do you have a recognition problem at all as far as people saying, oh, yeah, I remember that song. I remember that. Oh, it was you guys.
Well, it's kind of like what you said. It's like once we start playing the songs, it takes a while for people to go, oh man, I didn't know this band did that song and this song, you know, Light in Your Eyes and I Want to Be There and Let Me Be the One, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they kind of put it together, and then we throw in some other ones that were like, you know, I just call them B-sides because I grew up with records.
Right.
And, you know, songs like That's the Girl, which was sort of kind of a single, but you know, there's I don't know, we all kind of always just prided ourselves in trying to just write really good songs that, you know, that was, you know, fun to play live and that we could, you know, basically play out and people kind of feel them, move around, have some emotion attachment to it. And we were pretty successful with that, but we used to always call ourselves the most famous band you've never heard of. So it kind of goes right in line with what you're talking about.
Right. You guys came from an era that, well, of course, grunge hit, and that was its whole different entity. But you guys were there along with, like, Hootie and Counting Crows and the Lemonheads, where it was cool to have melodies again. It wasn't all guitar shredding and solos and over-the-top pomp rock. You actually had fun making music, and it was sing-along stuff. That was a unique era, the 90s.
It was. I mean, you know what? I mean, I'm really proud to be a part of that because I was big fans of a lot of those bands, man. Hootie and the Blowfish, Counting Crows, Third Eye Blind.
Yeah,
Beck just came out with Loser. It was just like, and for us to like be watching MTV and they play a bunch of those videos, Slide from Goo Goo Dolls, and then they play our video. It's just like, wow, we're kind of part of that. That's really cool. I'm always proud of that.
That's awesome.
Now, you guys are from Ohio. You're Midwestern guys like us. What was the scene like in the Midwest? I know Chicago was pretty big. We had the Pumpkins and Veruca Salt and stuff. But what was Cincinnati like at that time?
Oh, I mean, the Cincinnati sound's always been really cool. There's always been a lot of really cool bands coming out here and still are. Over to Rhine came out of here. Afghan Whigs came out of here. L.A. and Babyface did a lot of production here before they went on to be L.A. and Babyface. I mean, it's really been cool. But the thing about Blessed Union of Souls is we really didn't play out. We didn't really start, like, playing out at bars, and then building a following like that, which is good and bad, I guess. But, you know, our career basically started at radio with our first single, I Believe, and that's the first people any ever even heard of us. And, you know, a lot of bands from Cincinnati didn't even know we were from Cincinnati because we didn't play out. We all played in different bands around town, playing a couple of house bands at a couple of popular restaurants, stuff like that. But as Blessed Union of Souls, you know, the first time we played here was kind of, officially was really when we played one of the One Earth parties that was put on by one of the stations here. And, you know, by then people knew we were from Cincinnati, or we hope they did. Mm-hmm. We were doing a tour with the Rembrandts at the time, which is another really cool band. You remember that? They were so cool to hang out with, man. They were so nice. They were so cool. When we played in Cincinnati, because we were opening up for them, but when we played in Cincinnati, we'd gotten so cool, they were like, hey, look, this is your hometown. Let us go on first, and you headline. We were like, are you serious?
Wow.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Because by then, I believe, was climbing up the charts. You know, I mean, you know, they got the Friends hit, man. They'll always, that'll always just be a big song that will be playing forever, every day on some television station somewhere.
Everybody knows that song.
Not a bad thing to have, but they were really cool and gracious to say, no, we're going to open up and you guys headline tonight.
Wow. That is really cool.
And ironically enough, that was on my birthday too, July 21st, 1995. And it was really great. It meant a lot to us.
Now, what is it that got you into music? Being a Cincinnati guy, and you said the music scene was pretty good there, when did you decide this is what I want to do for a living, and when did you actually start pursuing it? What was the trigger for you?
The trigger, I was always listening to, you know, different bands growing up. I was thoroughly infatuated with Queen, Prince, and Led Zeppelin. I mean, those were my top three.
Nice.
You know, and but there were a lot of bands after that. But when Prince came out with the 1999 album in 1983, That's when I knew.
Changed,
I was like,
everything.
Okay, this is it. This is what I want to do. I have no idea how I'm going to do it. None. You know what I mean? I used to read. None. No, seriously. I mean, you know, I used to read the back of albums like I used to read the back of cereal boxes when I'm guzzling down a box of mini weeds. I used to just read the credits: who produced it, who wrote it, who composed it, where was it recorded, who's the mastering, what is mastering. You know, I was just infatuated with all of that. You know what I mean? And then by the time I got into my first band, I luckily got into an R&B band, and all of us felt exactly the same way. We were just like, there's nothing else we want to do, and we're going to practice and practice and practice. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to practice some more and practice some more. Because this first band I was in, we were an R&B band called The Movies, and people used to just be amazed at how good we were, and like, man, how are you guys so good? And we didn't look at ourselves like that. We were just like, I don't know, we just practice a lot. And we did. You know, it was the Pete Rose syndrome, man. We just played harder than anybody else.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we practiced 3 or 4 hours. We'd grab some pizza and then practice another 3 or 4 hours. We'd do that 4 or 5 days a week. And come to find out, some of these other bands were practicing like once or twice a week, whatever they can get together.
Sure.
I'm like, are you serious?
Right.
Like, no. And even when we weren't practicing, we were at home in our own little studios working on other songs. It was just
wow.
It was just around us. You know what I mean? You know how it is when you got a passion for something. Like actors and actresses, when you talk to them, they're always acting. They always dream of acting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think when you're just into something like that, whatever it is, journalism, architecture, scientists, you just find yourself gravitating towards more serious people, and they gravitate towards you because they can just feel it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's reciprocal. So I got around some really good guys that wanted it just as bad as I did. Found a really great manager who had already been successful up in New York. He moved back to Cincinnati. And I've just really been blessed to be around, you know, passionate people who are passionate about music. And I don't know, I could go on forever and forever, but I know you guys got a limited time. But I get to talking about it, because I just love it
so much.
And I talk to a lot of different musicians who are trying to make it in the music business. It's like, how do you do it? How do you do it? Like, I don't know how you do it. You just love it. And he let it love you back.
And, and you rehearse a lot.
Yes.
And you rehearse a lot, exactly.
One of the things I like about your music, and there's various songs in your catalog over the albums where you have pop culture references. The one we just played, that girl I've been telling you about, you mentioned the Honeymooners rerun, and in Hey Leonardo, I mean, you drop so many names. I mean, you're a name-dropping Hollywood guy there. Is that kind of a trademark when you guys are writing? I mean, do you try to work something like that in? Is it just happenstance?
No. They just happened on those particular songs. I mean, it just, you know, if it feels right, it feels right. If it doesn't, you don't force it. You know what I mean? That's one of the unspoken rules about songwriting. It's like, you know, Taylor Swift had a song called Tug McGraw. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I mean, or Tim McGraw. I said Tug, his father. Said, Tim McGraw. It just felt natural. It was just the natural thing, you know, that she wanted to sing about. You don't do that with every song. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And, but yeah, we did that with Leonardo, and, you know, people had the notion that me and Leonardo DiCaprio were like buddies. I've never met the guy. I love watching his movies, but
I've never met the guy.
But it just felt right with that movie and with that song. And I tell you what, we actually, when we talked about Cindy Crawford, she actually sent us a thank you note.
Wow.
Because she was pregnant at the time, and I said fat like Cindy Crawford, but I spelled it PHAT. So
right.
She knew what I meant. She was cool.
Right. That's funny. I kind of figured that was the case. I always thought you knew Leonardo, too. I really did. And I heard that song. I thought, wow, he hangs with Leonardo.
Yeah.
Every girl's got to want to be with him. So, on that note, let's play the song we're talking about. And again, listeners, if the name Blessed Union Souls has still scratching your head a little bit, this one is going to be the bell ringer. This is the one that everyone knows. This one, and I Believe, and we're going to get to that as well. But this is Hey Leonardo, She Likes Me For Me, Blessed Union of Souls.
She don't care about my car. And she don't care about my money. And that's real good, cause I don't got a lot to spend. But if I did, it wouldn't mean nothing. She likes me for me. Not because I look like Tyson Beckford with the charm of Robert Redford losing out my ears. But what she sees are my thoughts and indecisions, my insecure conditions, and the tears upon the pillow that I shed. She don't care about my big screen or my collection of DVDs. Things like that just never mattered much to her. Plus she don't watch too much TV. And she don't care that I can fly her to places she ain't never been. If she really wants to go, I think deep down she knows that all she has to say is when. She likes me for me, not because I hang with Leonardo or that guy who played in Fargo. I think his name is Steve. She's the one for me, and I just can't live without her. My arms belong around her. Likes me for me, not because I sing like Pavarotti or because I'm such a hottie. I like her for her, not because she's fat like Cindy Crawford. She has got so much to offer. Why does she waste all her time with me? There must be something there that I don't see. I don't see. She likes me for me. Not because I'm tough like Dirty Harry, make her laugh just like Jim Carrey. I'm like the cable guy. But what she sees is that I can't live without her. My arms belong around her, and I'm so glad I found her once again. Found her once again. Once again.
Hey, Leo. Leonardo, She Likes Me For Me. Blessed Union of Souls. Did you count the pop culture references in there? There's Drew Carey, Leonardo DiCaprio, Robert Redford, Dirty Harry, Cindy Crawford, Pavarotti, and there's probably a few more I missed in there. But just listening with the cans, I'm going like, holy cow, he names everybody.
wait a minute. No, not Drew Carey. Jim Carey.
Oh, I thought you said Drew Carey.
Jim, okay. Come on, man. You got the lyrics right in front of you. Pull them up. They're going to Google.
I'm one of those guys that likes to listen to the lyrics, not read them. So, okay.
I hear you, man. No, I was the same way, especially growing up listening to Led Zeppelin. I tell you what, it was like 15, 20 years later before I realized anything Robert Plant was saying. I was like, oh, really? That's what he said.
Yeah, there's a whole book out on that stuff. Did you really miss the lyric on that? Like, kiss this guy instead of kiss the sky with Jimi Hendrix? You know, all that craziness.
Isn't that funny?
What's it like at this point in your career, going out and obviously you're doing all the hits and the people are loving those. Are you getting any new product out? I know the last time I think you recorded was around 2010 or 11, so it's about time, I think, maybe for a new album?
It is about time. I was just talking to my guitar player about working on some new songs. I've got a whole slew of songs. We just need to get together and record them. So I'd like to put out a new record by next summer and have it out and just, I don't know, see how people react to it. But nice. I've got a ton of songs. And the thing is, I like to just kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. You know what I mean? I know what our sound is, and I want to do kind of more of that. I like doing songs that are uplifting, songs that are positive, songs that make people think. You know, I've never been, you know, an overly romantic as far as the songs are concerned. There's a couple of them, like Let Me Be the One, and I mean, we've got our share of love songs, but yeah, I've got a slew of songs, and it's basically just about picking the right ones to record, and as we're doing that, we'll probably write new ones, because that's what happened with the first album. We had a core four or five songs that we knew we were going to record, and as we were recording them, we were kind of like developing our sound at the same time, so new songs came to light, and some of the songs that we thought were going to be on the record never made it and never saw the light of day.
So they didn't follow up on subsequent albums after that?
What? No, not all. Actually, a lot of them didn't. You know what I mean? Actually, I was just talking to somebody about that. There's one of the songs that we originally sent to the record company to just try to solicit a recording contract. It was like the second or third song on the demo, and it never made the record. I think we've only played it live a couple of times. Whoa,
what was that?
I don't know, but it was loud.
Yeah, that woke us all up. You're going to be here headlining this event this weekend. And like I said, we're very excited about it. Can you tell us what the live show is like that you'll be bringing to town for those that have never seen the group?
I don't know, man. We like to... It's funny about our live show. It's like there's usually a lot of energy on stage, and even depending on whatever kind of day it is, even if it's a long day or a long drive and then we play, something about once the music starts, we kind of just kick it into gear. You know, we're going to play a lot of the singles and, you know, some of the other obscure, like I said, B-sides that we'll probably do. You know, we have, I always call it like, you know, we call audibles. You know, there's the set list, and then it's like, you know, during or towards the end of one song, we'll just go, you know, we'll change the play. Kind of like Peyton Manning, you know what I mean? Once you get up to the line, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, no, let's do this one. Let's call this one. You know, we'll do a couple of cover songs that we like to do every now and then.
Nice.
And I don't know. We just hope that people get into it. You know, it seems like the type of venue that it is, being an opera house, it seems like I'm guessing the acoustics are probably really, really good in there.
They're super,
especially for something that's been around over 100 years. So we like playing venues like that where you can kind of hear, you know, every nuance. And no, we're really looking forward to it.
The cool thing too is for the artists, you've got a hell of a green room back there. Stretch, everyone's got dressing rooms. The green room is cool. I mean, you got a lot of space to kind of stretch out in, and you're gonna love it there. It's one of those places that every artist that plays there wants to come back.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We've had Roger McGuinn was there. Smithereens have been there. Willie Nile. Really? I mean, all these guys. And every time they come back. We're going to come back here. And they do.
Yeah. So it sounds like that kind of place.
You're going to be a regular.
Let's go ahead and book us again.
Fine with me. Let me just go get that contract written up real quick.
There we go. What's been the most difficult and the most rewarding? I'm going to throw that double-sided coin at you of having a life in music.
Difficult. I wouldn't really call it difficult, and I don't know. I like my privacy.
Okay.
And I like to be able to go places, you know, and not be recognized, which happens a lot more now, especially since I shaved my dreadlocks away, which was actually one of the reasons why I did. But that's always been a little embarrassing to me because I know me. I know where I came from, and I don't think of myself as any bigger or better than anybody else. And, you know, I'm just a kid from Pleasant Ridge who, you know, wrote some songs and got with some good people. And, you know, our music was played on the radio, which was always my dream. That was my dream, just to have my song played on the radio. And now when people call me and they, you know, I got a friend of mine in Florida. He was like, hey, man, I'm sitting at the beach with my wife, sitting in a hammock, and I turn on Spotify, and, you know, Light in Your Eyes just came on. I'm like, oh, very cool. But the most rewarding part is that, you know, our music has really reached worldwide. I mean, I still got a box of fan mail when people actually used to write letters, and I still have a box of fan mail in my basement. I mean, from Turkey, from Australia.
Wow.
You know, all the 50 states in the United States. It's just, that's still amazing to me because it's funny, like, when I go someplace that there's a whole bunch of people, like if I go to a Reds game or a Bengals game or whatever, of course I had to reference my Cincinnati sports
team. Mm-hmm. Right? Notice that. Take
shameless
note.
Plug.
Did you like that? You like that little plug?
Shameless.
But when I go there and I'm looking at all these people, I'm like 30, 40, 50,000 people there, man, and it's like, wow, I mean, you know, how did I get picked to be the one, you know, to be able to, you know, I'm sure a lot of people's dreams come true, but man, you know, you think about something so long, you know, growing up, and you ever wonder if it's going to happen, and it really happened for me, you know, I mean, I was, you know, I don't know, it's not just about me, it's about the band, it's about all of our vision and all of our dream, that we wanted to create music and go on the road and tour and meet people and have our music listened to and accepted by people. I mean, that will never get old. When people call me and say, I just heard your song on radio, I don't go, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I go, really? What station? You know what I mean? I appreciate it. You know, seriously.
What was it like for you? You mentioned, you know, hearing your songs on the radio. The first time you were sitting there, and I would assume it's I Believe, that was the big breakthrough. But what was it like for you to suddenly turn on the radio and there you were?
I literally cried the entire time the song was playing. And I can remember it was the summer of 94, and Q102 here in Cincinnati were doing their New Music Week. And I'm paraphrasing. They were playing new songs every day this particular week. And we heard that they might play I Believe this week. You know, and you know how it is a radio. You can't fully make promises.
Right.
Like, you want to get to it, but will you get to it? There's a lot of different variables.
Right.
So Monday went by. They didn't play it. Tuesday went by. They didn't play it. Wednesday, okay, we're running out of days here because it's only Monday through Friday. And I was rehearsing with a band that we were playing at this really cool restaurant in North Kentucky. And I was rehearsing with them, and they weren't in Blessed Union of Souls. I was rehearsing with another band, but they knew what was going on. They knew that one day this week our song might be played on the radio. And so I guess it was between the time that they did it. They did it around noon. And so, like, we had practice every day that week. And, you know, right around, you know, 11:45, 11:50, we'd chill, we'd turn the radio on. And they'd announce who it was, and you either immediately knew it was you or knew it was not. And like I said, the first 3 days, we immediately knew it was not. The fourth day, Thursday, And he said, this our new song that is a band out of Cincinnati. And I just immediately started welling up. I mean, it was just, I mean, I remember feeling like it was yesterday. I just immediately started welling up. And when those first three or four notes for I Believe came on, I lost it. I mean, the guys were consoling me like, you know, I lost a pet or something. You know? But it was just like, at that moment, at that time, for those 3 minutes and 30 seconds, you know, we had the listeners here, and it was just, I don't know. It was, you know, we had to call rehearsal, and we ordered a pizza.
That's a great story.
It was such a great feeling, and then, you know, the album came out the following year, you know, and that's the thing about it, you know, when people first heard of, you know, Hold My Hand by Hootie and Blowfish, oh, man, overnight success. No, man, those guys have been playing in the band for 7, 8, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just like our record had been done for a year and a half, 2 years. And, you know, yeah, it wasn't an overnight success. But the way I Believe really hit and really affected people, it really seemed like it. And it really, you know, it really touched the hearts of a lot of people. I'll never take that for granted.
Well, we're going to play it right now because, you know what, I'm in radio, and I promised I would, and I'm going to. So we're going to take you back to that first time. And, Elliot, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I appreciate you taking time out of your evening.
Hey, I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to coming up there this Yay. Weekend.
Yeah,
we're
man.
So excited
we'll see
to
you on
have
Saturday.
You. Yeah.
All right, that's this Saturday at the Memorial Opera House. We are going to rock the block. And again, this is a fundraiser to keep that Grand Old Lady Theater up and running and keeping all these great shows coming. And, of course, headlining. We mentioned all those great local bands, but headlining at 8 o'clock, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, there's Blessed Union of Souls. And this is the one, too, that you will remember. This is the big one. And this is the one that sometimes can make you cry. Elliot Sloan has been our guest from the band. He's the songwriter. He's the lead singer. He's a founding member. And I hope he still, and we still, believe this is it. I want to say thank you for listening. Support the Opera House. We're out of here. Adios.
Walk blindly to the light and reach out for his hand. Don't ask any questions and don't try to understand. Never been so happy.